Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I first want to start by thanking my co-authors, particularly Lei Feng and Erin Bush, who did most of the work supporting this presentation. I think so you can better understand what we are trying to do is it's better to start with a picture. These are three different projects. Top left, you have a project about trying to understand the relationship between soil moisture, live fuel, and wildfires in Oklahoma. The bottom left, there is a project trying to quantify the surface runoff of different land covers and land uses in Kansas near Manhattan. And then we also have the Kansas Mesonet, which is a statewide network of environmental monitoring stations that spans about 56 stations across the state of Kansas. All these three projects have something in common, and is that we are using the same soil moisture sensor. Particularly, we are using the CS655, a sensor that's been in the market for about 5 to 6 years. And here we're talking about more than 260 to close to 300 sensors among all the projects. As you can see, we have several locations, and the soil texture, electrical conductivity, and other soil properties change widely. And so we were wondering about, is there anything we can do to, or is there anything we need to do to improve the estimations of volumetric water content, which is the variable that we are ultimately interested in. So we started looking in the literature, and we really didn't find much information about this sensor other than from the manufacturer. So we decided to do some sort of a research on the topic. And in this case, we are looking for something, you know, generic or sort of a custom equations that can improve the estimations of volumetric water content. Here we are not talking about location specific. With so many locations, it would just be impractical to do that. So the objective was very simple, trying to get some sense of the sensor and trying to, you know, to double check if the specifications of the manufacturer were in agreement with our lab test, and also trying to see if we can actually improve the estimations of volumetric water content, develop custom equations from the raw sensor outputs. Before I jump into the methods and the results, I think it will be wise to briefly describe the sensor. It's basically an electromagnetic wave sensor. It has a solid epoxy head and two stainless steel rods. And there are two models. We happen to be using the one with 12 centimeter rods. And there are six output variables from this sensor. There are three raw outputs, which are the period average, voltage ratio, and temperature, by using a thermistor inside the head of the sensor. There are two intermediate variables, the dielectric constant and the electric conductivity, which are being determined from the raw outputs. And then the volumetric water content, which is the one we are interested in. Now, if you are interested in volumetric water content, there is quite a journey. You have to go from period, average, translate that into dielectric constant, and translate that into volumetric water content. So we tried to develop a lab protocol, and in summary, consists of a lab test using solutions with known electrical conductivity and dielectric constants, then trying to bring some soil in with known volumetric water contents, and then try to go to the field and sample nearby the sensors. So the first test was about trying to quantify the sensor to sensor variability. In this case, we basically grab a 4-liter container with DI water and calcium chloride. So we try to say that the electrical conductivity of 0.7 decisiemens per meter, which is, you know, roughly the same conductivity that we have in our soils. And we grab four sensors from our stock, and then we try to compare the readings. There is not much to say here, just there was a very good agreement, very low variability across sensors. The electric constant was determined by all sensors within one unit, which, you know, that was pretty remarkable, at least for our applications. And probably the range between the maximum and the minimum of all the sensors is either sensor electronics or even, you know, experimental error from our setup. The second test that we try to do is to determine the sensor volume in water. And for this, so you will see during the presentation, I'm not using methods and results. I will just try to combine everything in one picture, because if I go over all the methods, you would probably forget them by the time I get to the results. So I hope that chart within the figure helps you to bring some insight on what we did in the lab. Basically, we place a sensor inside of a container, and we try to move the sensor from sort of near the wall to the center of the container and trying to record what was the dielectric constant in this case. Then we normalize by the largest value, We basically came out that the footprint of the sensor is about 5 centimeters in every direction from the rods. So then we use this information to quantify the sensing volume using an elliptical cylinder. The reason we had to use this shape is because, you know, there are two rods, and so since it's 5 centimeters in each side, and we had to also account for the distance between the rods. So the sensing volume was about 1.6 liters. You can see the larger axis A is 5 centimeters in each side of the rod, plus the 3.5 centimeters between the rod. That's what it means. Now, the volume that we observed in the lab was pretty different than the one reported by the manufacturer, which is about 3.6 liters. Maybe they had a better setup. Our results compare well with the Decagon 10H, which is about, you know, the same sensing volume. So at least I think we captured most of the footprint, but maybe some of the signal was lost, and, you know, it could be that the manufacturer value is still right. Another test that we wanted to do is to see how well the sensor was measuring electrical conductivity. In this case, we prepare DI water and calcium chloride solutions at four different temperatures, basically from 6 degrees Celsius to 50 degrees Celsius. In all cases, the sensor responded very well according to theoretical values from the chemistry and physical chemistry book. The last test we did in the lab with sort of DI water and solutions was trying to quantify or to check the dielectric constant measurements of the sensor using DI water at different temperatures. And again, the sensor agreed pretty well with the known models in the literature. We also, even so these are some of the values, but we wouldn't try the sensor to put it at minus 17 Celsius inside of the freezer. And, you know, it worked pretty well, and even the values of dielectric constant for ice were reasonable. We then brought some soil into the lab with a known volumetric water content to do some extra tests. So in this case, we use PVC pipes of 10 centimeters diameter, 15 centimeters long. So that's about 1.2 liters. Now, the volume of this is smaller than the footprint I showed you before, 1.6 liters. The reason is that when you have a medium, in this case soil, that has maybe lower dielectric constant, then the footprint is assumed to be also smaller than that. So we thought it was okay to use it. We did some tests, and we did find some, you know, sensitivity of the sensor when it was surrounded by water. So we immersed this sort of PVC tubes in water, and we did see a tiny change, but it was in the order of 2 to 3%. So I think that's the experimental error. The soil were packed to a bulk density of 1.35, and we also used 10 levels of volumetric water content. We did not stop there. We had three different soils with different soil textures from one of our stations in Oklahoma. And we also added three different temperatures, so basically covering from 6 degrees to 40 degrees Celsius. So then we tried to calculate the volumetric water content of the containers using some of the models embedded in the firmware of the sensor, such as the classic top et al. Equation, and tried to compare the predictions or the estimations from the sensor with the known volumetric water content of the container. The default or the factory default equation it was decent, at least in the dry end, but it was not very good in the wet end. So we got a room mean square error that was larger than what we intended originally. Then we tried to look how we could improve that, and we found that there was a linearized equation that was widely used by researchers by just using the square root of the permittivity. That actually happened to remove some of the bias and improve the estimations of volumetric water content. But we were still puzzled by what was going on here at the wet end. So we started doing some extra investigations. We found actually a highly non-unique relationship between the dielectric constant and volumetric water content. So for different volumetric water contents, we analyzed the range in the dielectric constant at different temperatures. So for instance, this value right there is the soil with high volumetric water content had a reading of dielectric constant of 40 at 6 Celsius, but it has a dielectric constant reading of 55 at 40 Celsius. So that's a large range. We actually were expecting the value to go down because the dielectric constant of water goes down with temperature, but we observed the opposite. So this value right here is what we usually assume in the literature, that you know the dielectric constant of the solids does not change very much with temperature, but we are still trying to find out exactly what is going on at high volumetric water contents. Yeah. I want to remind you that these are high, heavy clay soils, so there might be something going on here that we still need to discover. This is important because I think it's everything linked to temperature, and the surface temperature of some of our stations range from minus 5 Celsius to 55 Celsius. And this is a 4-year time series of location near Stillwater, Oklahoma. So we try to incorporate the effect of temperature or electrical conductivity, which is somewhat also related to temperature, by adding two extra moles. So another model was to add a linear term here of the square root of the electrical conductivity, which it did improve a little bit the estimations of volumetric water content. But then we also added in a fourth model an interaction term between temperature and the dielectric constant, which actually happened to improve the estimations of volumetric water content by almost 33% related to the one that is widely used. So these two top models do not account for any temperature effect. That's what the top, the bottom two models are doing. So final remarks. Overall, the CS655, you know, had low sensor-to-sensor variability. For us, the sensing volumes was about 1.6 liters, and it was, you know, 5 centimeters in every direction. This is important because some of our stations also have sensors at 5 centimeters, so having a greater sensing volume will imply that we are losing some of the signals in the top sensors in the networks. And then reliable EC measurements, at least in the range from 0 to 4 decisievens. Again, we observe this non-unique relationship between volumetric water content and the dielectric constant due to temperature, and that correcting for or adding corrections for soil temperature and the electrical conductivity can actually improve the estimations of volumetric water content in about 30 to 60%, depending, you know, what model you're comparing it to. That's all. Thank you. The question was if we found any correlation between the soil texture and the data we presented. I don't know exactly what you mean with the soil texture and correlations, but we did observe that if you do a very soil-specific calibration, you can get even lower values than that. So if you grab just one horizon of one location, you can get even better than that. But we just wanted to avoid that kind of approach because of, you know, we have so many locations that we don't want to enter into that. But yeah, it's possible to do, you know, for a sandy loam or a clay loam or just very specific soils, even better calibrations than that.
Just to follow up on that question, when you find a better calibration for different soil texture, do you find the effect to lie in the interaction between soil texture and EC?
Sir, let me repeat. So the idea is if when we analyze different soil textures, if we still find these this improvement with EC and the temperature calibration?
I'm talking about the interaction between soil temperature and EC. Does that change between different soil textures?
That's a good question. There is you have to always correct for, you know, EC is affected by temperature. Now, there might be some soil-specific correction that you may need to do. I'm not quite sure. We typically do adjust, you know, we know EC changes with temperature, but I just don't know if we need there's anything specific for every single soil.
Did you think of your soils when you put them in your plastic tins, or are they just ideas for the
field? Yes, yeah, so with these disturbed soils, and yeah, in all the treatments that we manipulated soil, we tried to seal them because we were working at different temperatures, so we had to cover them with you know, some bags. To sieve, sorry, as a seal. Yes, it was disturbed soils. Yeah, so these were sieved and ground to 2 millimeters sieve. So this is pretty standard, but we do acknowledge that, you know, results may change a little bit if we use undisturbed soil, and that's the reason why the third step of the protocol is trying to go to the field and sample nearby the sensor. So we want to check if the calibrations that we develop in the lab also, you know, hold outside the lab. The question was if we find any variability in the sensors, if we install the sensors vertically or horizontally. That's a good question. We installed the sensors vertically down, and the head of the sensor was outside. We did some tests on partial rod insertion into water. We did not find any significant change when the sensor head was in or out, other than the time it was they took to equilibrating temperature. But that's a good question. And you know, we did some of the tests vertically in the soil, and then when we go to our station, we do it horizontally. So maybe we need to investigate a little bit more there.